The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab. Patricia Ann Neely is a professional musician who specializes in historical performance. She's a founder of New York's Abend Music Ensemble and has concertized and recorded with numerous top early music ensembles across the U.S. and internationally. Patricia Ann Neely is currently the chair of Early Music America's Task Force on Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. Its mission is to address the lack of diversity in the field and explore ways in which to increase outreach to a wider demographic. Pat has graciously agreed to touch base with me periodically to continue our ongoing discussions of these important matters. Well, since you're on the front line of some organizations' efforts to implement policies that move in the direction of more diverse and inclusive participation, what kind of insights or observations do you have about that process that might help it become more successful?
I think it's the fact that I have had individual conversations with people who represent particular early music organizations. And everyone who has talked to me has had an incredible amount of time to craft outreach opportunities, or they really do have the issues under their belt. They know what's going on, and they're just trying to figure out whether they're going in the right direction and whether they're using, as I say, the right language. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about this is we all know each other. And I have been trying to encourage EMA to be that that organization that brings everyone together for that discussion. And if we can get people who are actively doing the work, we don't know what everyone is doing, but there are organizations that have already implemented initiatives. And then there are those who don't know whether they're going in the right direction. And then there are those who are completely out of it and just need to sit and listen to what other people are doing and to hear what their challenges and their success stories are. So I am trying to encourage EMA to be that United Nations type of organization, that a council, mm-hmm. so that we can all get together on a regular basis once a month and discuss where we are. Mm-hmm. I know that the museums in New York City have had a consortium of that sort, and they all have been getting together once a month to discuss the same issues that we do, mm-hmm. and the impact of the pandemic as well on their strategic plans.
Mm-hmm. I know I'm involved with a board of another musical organization, not specifically early music. And, you know, we have grappled with this and, you know, we're at the point, kind of what you were describing before, where there's pushback, there's fear, there are a lot of assumptions. There are a lot of what I'm noticing, people fear change so much that they go to the catastrophizing end of things. So instead of just, this is going to be a way to bring in more talent and genius and voices of people who, you know, we haven't fished in those ponds before. You know, we've been fishing in a very tiny little pond looking for the talent. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. We're broadening our scope now. And yet there's a real fear. And, you know, again, it goes to sort of from, well, if we can't do it the way we've always done it, it's going to be completely different and disastrous. And I think it's very hard to get people to back down from their defensiveness to just be open to change.
Right. I mean, it's not as if we have to take specifics. What I'm not hearing from the outspoken Black artists is, what do you suggest? I mean, there's been the accusations, but then how do you suggest we move forward? Because if we do this in a silo and the organization is an organization is trying to move forward, they're going to take that step, and it's going to be fearful because they're not going to know what the outcome is going to be. So there has to be this feeling that we're all moving in the same direction, and therefore the conversation is much broader than you would like. I mean, we don't have to put out a mission statement that one day supports Black Lives Matter and another day supports Asian awareness. We've got to make it so that we talk about what is it that makes this country what it is, or made this country what it is, right, and start from there. And how does the demographic of this country, how is it represented in our own fields? Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily that we have to start programming music of indigenous people or music from the Latino community. It's that we have to be aware that all of this is American music. There are Blacks who only want to play classical music. That's great. There are groups that are geared toward researching and doing more music that represents an ethnicity in a specific period of time in this country. So I think the broader look at who are we as Americans will help us craft how to move forward in a way that's not patronizing and that is all inclusive.
Mm-hmm. And given that you have this experience in more than one organization, do you have any kind of suggestions or advice for an organization? It doesn't even have to be an arts organization necessarily, but really any company, organization, whatever, that wants to create a task force or a committee or implement tactics for achieving diversity and inclusion? Like, in other words, is there anything that you've learned from your experiences that either is the cautionary tale or, hey, this was a really good tactic that really worked for us?
I think it's having to listen. I mean, first of all, the key word is to listen. And if you're going to listen, you have to find the people to listen to. And that does not come with just looking at who you have in your purview or who is on your board. It's bringing people in who are familiar with your organization and having those experiences that have put us where we are today. So to me, it's starting to reach out to people who are spokespersons, and they may not necessarily play an instrument. They may not necessarily be involved in early music, but they can certainly speak on what it's like to communicate as either a musician in any kind of ensemble or how people are hired to be in concerts. I mean, we have to, in early music, wrestle with the fact that we don't have auditions. That's going to come up. Because if we are going to spend time trying to increase diversity, how are we going to do that without changing the standards by which we choose musicians in performance? We want to see a demographic of different ethnicities on stage. Mm-hmm. So, I sit in on these monthly meetings just to observe and be a person that one can bounce questions on, but it really should be something that you do with a broader range of people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And listen really is the operative word here. I think if we assume that we have a group of people who genuinely are allies, they're sincere in their intentions, and they are sincerely committed to being better, listening is the big chunk. But there's also action. You know, once we've listened, once we've learned from this, like, do you have any suggestions for what anyone who is a committed and sincere ally, what can we do? What should we do to further these values, to foster these actions?
Well, I bring up the fact that there have to be a more diverse demographic getting together to discuss the issues. Mm-hmm. No individual can make that decision, because then as an individual, you are held responsible for how people are going to respond. And if the burden is on one person, that person's reaction can either stop what's moving forward out of fear, or be extremely focused on pleasing one particular aspect of diversity. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that the statements that come out online are doing any service to us. But I do think there need to be more panel discussions about this through organizations like EMA and CMA. As we crawl out of this year of isolation, it's a little different. I mean, we have to be together in one place, and we have to be there in person to do this. And I think by having those discussions, those formal discussions, then you go back and you do feel more empowered as an individual to make some changes, to approach an organization and say, you know, have been talking to like-minded people, and we need to increase our audience members. We need to have more diversity among our audience members and potential philanthropists. Ask again the question, has the board or has the organization thought about that? So we need to have sort of ambassadors who are in these discussions go back and ask those questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's incumbent on us to do that self-reflection in addition to listening, and to try to really think about what our own blind spots are and some of those meaningful things we can do once we've participated in those discussions.
And I have to say, and I hate to use this term because it just kills me, but it has to come from both sides.
Yeah.
We are in a place right now, as I said, where we're not listening to each other. We're divisive and we're still protesting. Mm-hmm. And let's get that out of our system. And then let's start actively seeking out a situation where we can all be together. And that's something that we can plan now, because as we get out of the pandemic slowly, we can judge when the time is right to have those discussions. And of course, we can't predict what's going to happen in the fall. But from what we know today about the way the world is opening back up, we should be able to start having those discussions in June and in July, and give the 2 months of summer that time to really sit down and plan how we're going to be perceived once we are somewhat back to a normal life style.
Yeah. And the old saw is, change is hard. But the other thing that's hard, and this is a big deal for this kind of an issue, trust is hard. Trust is something that's not just bestowed. You don't go pick it up off a shelf. It's really something that comes from the kind of relationship building that you're talking about, and listening.
Exactly. So it's listening and trusting. And how do you trust someone? You have to spend time with them. And, we have adapted to this little thumbprint kind of meeting protocol. And I don't think in our case with the task force, we've ever met in person. We've only met remotely. It's going to be a very passionate and very important move forward to bring us all into one room, and it'll take a number of those visits to start really implementing ideas that are going to be positive for what we are talking about this year.
Yeah. Well, I've been speaking on Zoom with Patricia Ann Neely, a New York-based professional musician and veteran member of top early music ensembles and a leading voice in trying to promote diversity and inclusion in the world of early music. Pat, thank you so much.
Thank you.